How do you keep going when nothing is working? How do you deal with unanswered prayers? Woo! This episode is real. I'm going to say that this episode is what I'm experiencing in some levels in my life. I'm going to say I found a way to figure out how to navigate when you're kind of in that gap between like the stuff that I want and expect and the stuff actually happening and you're like, hello, what's going on? Like, how far are we? So yeah, let's get into it. Let's buckle in. It's a heavy one because waiting for unanswered prayers to manifest is very difficult. And people tell you to like, trust the process, trust God. And that's great. But when's it going to happen? What does it mean to trust the process practically? Like, how do I actually stop my brain from thinking about how this isn't working and how nothing's working out? How do I figure out if I should even still be hoping or working towards this thing if like nothing's clicking? Like, should I just give up? These are all the questions that swirl around our mind when we're in this period of transition. And I think that typically in life, every so often we're in this position, like it's not that rare. What I will say about that period when you're in the middle is that the principles that you live by and that whole entire experience makes you stronger on the end, which is helpful. It's annoying to hear in the middle, but it's helpful. And I think that these principles that I'm about to share can also help you in probably every area of life that applies to that waiting process. So let's dive in. The first thing I'm going to say is that sometimes you're actually not in the waiting season anymore, but you just can't see it. Because the opportunity in front of us doesn't always look like the thing, we tend to overlook it. And because we overlook it, we don't take action and we stay stagnant and we're stuck wondering why we still haven't got the thing. Like, why isn't it coming when meanwhile it's already low-key here, but it just looks maybe different from how we imagined. But let me tell you that most situations, opportunities, they never look like the thing on the surface until you take that step, until you move forward and you take that step of faith. And then you realize that this thing that I didn't really rate or that I overlooked is actually the thing that leads to the big thing that I've been hoping towards and I've been waiting for. So maybe things are actually working out and maybe you're no longer in the waiting game. Sometimes situations aren't working out because we're looking too much at the surface. So it's really important to remember that everything actually starts as a seed and it's our job to be able to water and nurture it so that we can see the things that we're hoping and we're dreaming and we're praying towards come into full bloom. And that is how you trust the process. And I think that idea of understanding that many things start as a seed and they don't always start as the fully formed thing really helps you stay a bit more calm. And that's something I spoke about in episode 14 when we spoke about seeing yourself as a success, because a success is not the end point. A success is the person who's committing to the process. On the flip side, if you keep trying this thing and you're going for it and it's still not working out, you might have to go back to the drawing board. I'm sorry I said it. I know it's harsh, but it's also the reality of life. And your job is to discern whether it's something you need to keep pushing for or you need to go back and think, I need to just start again or I need to change direction. So go back to the drawing board and do at least one of these four things. First, double check that you're actually in alignment. Sit and ask yourself, have the voices of comparison, the voices of other people infiltrated my brain, so now I'm on a path that is not even meant for me? Sometimes stuff isn't working out because you're not even supposed to be there. So you need to take the time to sit with God, sit with yourself, and really, really dig deep into who you really are and whether this is the right path for you. And you can only discern that by taking the time. I'm not ever going to be able to give you a secret hack beyond that. The rest of it will come with the time that you spend with yourself, understanding who you really are. Number two, make sure that you ask for help. Who are the people that are going to support you on that journey? Who are the people that can advise you? Who are the people that have done it before or done something similar before? Sometimes you've reached a block, you've reached a difficult point, and you actually need to call in reinforcements. Number three, try a different strategy. Maybe you're looking at it from the wrong perspective or there's another way around it. I'm one of those people who believes that everything is figure outable. I've mentioned this before in previous episodes. I'm like, there's many ways to skin a cat. And it's only when I've tried every single way, assuming that it's in alignment with me to pursue this path, that I'm like, okay, let me actually maybe drop this project or drop this expectation or drop this hope. Let me leave it for a second. Know when to take a break and call it a day. Sometimes it's not the season. Sometimes you've got to let that dream marinate for a week, for a month, for years, maybe even for a decade. and trust that it blooms at the right time, even if it may not be on your exact timelines. And that's a hard one to swallow, but it's real. And I personally would never want anything prematurely in life because I wouldn't be able to handle or experience it in the way that it should be experienced, the best way that it would be experienced. And this is something that Issa Rae actually talks about when she talks about making it in her 30s or in her late 20s versus much earlier in life. As always, I'll link the clip to her saying that in the show notes. It's really interesting. Now, knowing when to call it a day, when to let the dream marinate, is really a form of surrender. And that's kind of the true essence of this episode. It's so deep and it's so intense, this idea of surrender, because it sounds like you're just like, oh, I'm just going to leave, throw caution to the wind. That's not what surrender is. Surrender is a proactive choice to let something down. You have something in your hand and you're like, I'm actually going to surrender. I'm going to say, instead of holding it onto this bottle of water and like squeezing it tight, or like, let's say I've been trying to open this bottle of water for ages, and it's like, instead of me trying to squeeze it and use my teeth and use all these things, I'm actually going to say, you know what? I'm going to put it down. And I'm going to be okay with not having a drink. That's what surrender is. It's not a passive thing. It's a very active thing. And I think it actually also is a thing of like discipline. I think that discipline comes from a real understanding of the dynamics of surrender. Like, you can't just willpower your way out of something that you're passionate about or that you really want to work out. Surrender is a very, it's like a psychological click. Something has to click in your brain. And the journey of letting that click is a very big and important thing. Remember, as I said in episode 16, you're not necessarily in the driver's seat of your life, which I know, shock is a shock is a shock. And forcing things prematurely is not only painful, but it's pointless in the end. I'm sure there are some of you listening to this right now who are thinking, maybe this is a moment where I just have to surrender this thing. Put it on the back burner. Like I said, let it marinate. Even if it takes weeks, months, years, decades. I'm always like, God, low key, hopefully not. It doesn't take decades because ain't nobody got time. Like, I don't have time for that. But, you know. And I'm very much someone who's like, I know that I am on my journey of self-development, but I also know that God knows that I'm human. So I'm very comfortable being like, God, I'm happy for it to take as long as it needs, but let it not be too long. Let it not be decades. And I know that that's an imperfect response or an imperfect prayer. But I also know that in the Bible, you had people say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like, two things can be true at the same time. And I think sometimes there's a lot of shame around that, or feeling like you're not doing it right. You are human. Bring your humanity to God and he will perfect it as time goes on. So this is your sign to release, to let it go and to cherish what's in your hands right now. Do the most with what you have in front of you. Do the most with the experiences and the opportunities in front of you, even if they're not that thing that you really are hoping to add into your life. Recently, in my reflections, in my journaling, which I feel like I go on about literally in every single episode, you're probably always wondering why she was talking about journaling all the time, but this podcast wouldn't exist without my ability to self-reflect and to journal. And as I said once, I journal myself out of confusion and into clarity. So it's like a major, major thing for me. And I'm probably just a walking advert for journaling because that is the only thing that I have to bring to the table. And in my journaling time, I've actually been led back to two verses that have played roles or have been familiar with me at different points in my life over the years. And seeing them in this light really helped me when it came to unanswered prayers or the waiting season. And I wanted to go through them and just quickly chat through them with you guys because I feel like they are the game changers. They have been the game changer, the answer for me in this time. And reading it once, let me tell you right now, reading it once was not the answer. Actually, through this process, I learned what it meant to really meditate on the word, because people say these things, they're like, meditate on the word of God. And it's like, okay, what does that mean? And I think that I've done it multiple times in my life, but I think I had a stronger grasp on what it really means because I'm like, I need this thing. I need to live and breathe this thing. I need this thing to be a truth that is in my soul. Like, I need to believe it like I believe the sky is blue. So I'm just looking at it, rereading it every day, thinking, God, show me another angle. Show me a deeper understanding of what I've already read. Also, a really quick tip for getting to grips with something like the Bible and really understanding it a bit more is when someone mentions a particular verse, take time on your own time to go back and read it for yourself. Literally read it with your eyes. Don't just listen to me say it, because when you read it and you sit down in silence or with music in the background, but as in without someone speaking and advising you of it, you also have brainwaves, you have thoughts, you have ideas, you have questions, you have challenges about it, and you get to know that word for yourself. because like I always say, as much as you have people who can give you their interpretation of what they're reading and can share their experiences with you and give you guidance, etc., etc., we're all invited to know God one-to-one for ourselves. Nobody is the only channel through which you get to know God. We all have that independence and that freedom, and I think it's a really important thing to cultivate. So yeah, let's get into it. So the first one is Isaiah 54, and I'll start with verse 1 and probably read a couple of verses up until verse 5. So it says, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid, you will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Almighty is his name, the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, and he is called the God of all the earth." So quick context on Isaiah 54. Isaiah is a prophet, and a prophet is someone who speaks the word of God to the people and compels them into action, right? So in this case, it's a personification of like the children of ancient Israel in the Bible. So that's a bit of context, and you can learn more about Isaiah as a book. I will link in the show notes the Bible Project, which gives a good summary of the book. But I will dive into a few bits. So at the beginning, it talks about sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, sing and burst into song, right? So in those times, and to be honest, to an extent in these times, you know, the ability to have a child or the difficulty in having children is something that causes people to mourn and causes in some societies, in ancient societies, a lot of shame. Whereas here, the prophetic word is to sing. You don't sing when you're mourning. You don't shout for joy when you're mourning, you know? And so that's already like this idea of like celebrate where you are, not because of what has happened, but it then says, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. So this idea that you have more fruitfulness even than maybe where you think you would be if you got the thing that you wanted. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get the thing in time, but I love this idea of being able to just celebrate where you are and understand that you can be fruitful and you have things going for you even while you're waiting. Then I love the next verse where it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your tent curtains wide, don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. This idea of like, expand your land. Like you're waiting to, in this case, have kids. And this is a metaphor, right? So we're using the kids as a metaphor. It's saying, you know, normally it's like, okay, well, you have a big family, so you're going to need a bigger tent to live in, right, in ancient Israel. But no, they're like, you know what? You don't have any children, but make space, expand, strengthen your tents, like lengthen your stakes. You don't have to wait for the thing to live the life that you want. You don't have to wait for the thing to be confident. Sometimes we're like, oh, I need to get this job, or I need to earn this, or I need to get this thing in relationships. I need XYZ to be happy. Be happy now, be bold, live unapologetically, like be out there while you're waiting. Don't hold back and don't shrink yourself until you get the thing, because the thing's not going to make you who you are. You're who you are right now and you can go for it and at maximum capacity. And I love that. I think it's brilliant. And then it talks about, you know, you will spread out to the right and left and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in the desolate cities. So suddenly it's talking about descendants, but you just said that I'm barren. So what's the truth? Like, do I have children? Do I not? And I love that. I don't necessarily have the full answer. I'm going to be real with you. But I love the idea that the word acknowledges that you might be in this position now, but when you create space, you will have that fruit that you're looking for. Now, there's no guarantee that it will look the same way as what you wanted, but you're going to have something to fill this gap. You're going to have something to fill the tents that you've just created. But it's only when you create that space, it's only when you live openly, unapologetically, and you're not waiting for the thing to make you who you are, that you will get that thing that you've been wanting. And I think it's just great. And then it goes into, you know, don't be afraid, you won't be put to shame. Don't fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. So this idea again of like, as I mentioned, in those times, especially being unable to have children was a thing of shame, you know, a thing of feeling like an outcast. And here it's like, don't be afraid, don't worry, you're not going to be put to shame. You're not going to don't fear disgrace, you won't be humiliated. So again, this idea of like that thing that makes you feel less than, there's going to be a time, as long as it's aligned with God's will, there's going to be a time where you're not even going to remember, you're not even going to feel that thing, that shortness or that being covered or that kind of like, oh, I'm not really where I want to be. You're not going to feel that. There's going to be a time, don't know when it is, like I told you, it might marinate for a few years, but there's going to be a time where that's not even a consideration. So sing for joy now, make the most of now, and not make the most of like, oh, I'm just trying to manage and make the most of my time. No, live as if you've got everything you want in life now, because there'll be a time where those things will come. And then it says, which is the final bit that I'll touch on, although I think you should read this for yourself, is then it also says, for your maker is your husband, the Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, and he is called God of all the earth, right? And I love that. It literally says at the beginning, you know, if you're barren, you've never had a husband. And then it says, because God is your husband. And I think this is a real check on your brain and your, like people say, a heart check. It basically tests your motives. Because sometimes we have the thing that we're missing, we've put on a pedestal so much. And God is like, the Lord is your husband, or the Lord is that job. Or I want to, or the Lord is that amount that you want to earn. The Lord is that opportunity you're dying for. That sometimes the thing that we haven't got, we're so desperate to have it that it consumes us. And God is like, hey, whatever gaps there are, I can fill it. And I will do more because I am almighty. I am a redeemer. And there's a whole different project. There's a whole other thing I can get into about what a redeemer is. It basically is something that restores someone or something that restores what was lost. So I'm the Almighty, I'm the one who made you, I'm the one who restores what was lost, the Redeemer, and I'm the God of all the earth. So this idea of like, just remembering that sometimes, yeah, like I said, the stuff that we're missing, that becomes the biggest thing. We become so fixated, whereas actually God can fill those gaps in different ways. Like I said, things don't always look like we want, but God can fill those gaps. And I think it's such a big, I just love it. And I think I read it as like an affirmation. You need, and that's why I'm saying like read it over and over again, because you're training your soul to learn the truth of that. It's not going to be that job that makes you who you are. It's not going to be that child that makes you who you are. It's going to be it's only God, and he can do it now, and he can add what you've been waiting for to it at when the time is right, if the time is right. And that also reminds me of a part of Psalm 16, which Psalm 16 is like a very big verse to me. I adore it. And it says in verse 5 and 6, it says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I love this verse so much because, again, this idea of Lord, you alone are my portion. You're my portion. You're my cup. I.e., you're the only thing that truly sustains me. The Lord is your maker. That whole theme is like repeated. You make my lot secure. You make my life, my position in life secure. You're the only one that's going to be the thing that helps me have a life worth living. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. This one I definitely use as an affirmation, because boundaries, not in the psychology sense, but this idea that, okay, say I'm trying to get from here to here and there's a boundary and I can't move, right? It's stopping me from getting to here to here. It's one, but in this case, it's saying the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, i.e. you have, there may be things between where I want to be and there may be things that I maybe will never have. You know, I think we have to entertain that possibility, but they've fallen for me in pleasant places. Wherever you've placed them, God, is pleasant to me. The limitations are for my good. And that's an affirmation, because sometimes it doesn't feel like that. It's all very nice for me to read this flowery phrase to you, but I know living it's not always straightforward. But that's, for me, that's an affirmation. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Thank you that I want something, but you know better, really and truly, because I can't tell the future. I'm not outside time, but God is. And I think those can be really transformative principles in life. They help you realize that, first of all, the space between where you are now and getting that thing you want, there's stuff to do. You can create space. You can enlarge a place of your tents. You can live with the joy that you think you're going to get when you get that thing. Live with the joy now. And that the person or the only being that can fill it is actually God. And that the boundaries and the limitations that have been set before you are for your good, and they are okay and they are pleasant. even if they don't feel very pleasant. But again, like I said, affirmations, and you will see that your whole demeanor will shift. So that's how I kind of see this whole navigating the waiting in between when things aren't working out, unanswered prayers. Let me know what you think. As always, thank you for listening. Follow us at Take What You Need Podcast on TikTok and Instagram. And I will speak to you in the next episode.